Begin the current Daf Masech, the site the Daf Chav Zayin. We begin on the bottom line of Chavavim Beis, where the Gemara continues in a related vein from the previous Daf, which was discussing Pritzus, when a woman acts in an inappropriate, immoral manner. So now the Gemara relates how that comes into a man when he's looking for a mate. So Amar Shmuel Shmuel says, Yisa Adam, a person should marry him, and continue on top of Chav Zayin Med Aleph, Duma, which Rashi translates the word Duma. Doesn't have to be negative, but it means a person that is spoken about a lot. Which in this context, it means to say that everyone talks about her regarding her immorality, infidelity, this, that she does inappropriate, immoral things. So rather marry such a woman, Valyisa Bas Duma. Don't marry the daughter of such a woman, whoever knows does inappropriate, immoral things. As he explains, Shazu, because the Duma, the one that is spoken about, that she's obviously doing inappropriate things with other men, Bami Tipik Sheir, at least she herself came from a pure and valid drop of semen, meaning her conception was from appropriate parents. So although she's maybe doing inappropriate things, but she's a valid kosher woman. But Vizu, Bami Tipik Psula, however, the Bas Duma, although she's not doing anything inappropriate, but she came from an inappropriate drop of semen. In other words, because since her mother did inappropriate things, maybe her father wasn't really her Jewish father. Maybe it was some non-Jew or some illegitimate mamzer. So therefore, says Shmuel, rather marry actually the Duma, who she's inappropriate, but at least she's a kosher valid woman, than rather the Bas Duma. But Rabbi Yechon Amar, he argues, and he says, no, Yisa Adam Bas Duma, rather marry the daughter of an inappropriate woman. Val Yisa Duma, don't marry a woman herself who acts inappropriately. The reason being is Shazu, because the Bas Duma, Aymedes Becheskes Kashas, she hasn't what halacha is known as a Cheskes Kashas, which is a presumptive state of validity, and she's therefore permitted to her husband. The reason being is because we're not concerned and suspect that maybe she came from a drop of non-kosher semen, in other words, because there's a chazaka based on a raiva, laws of majority, that's called raiv bilis achar abal. The majority of acts of cohabitation that a woman has are with her husband. Now, although maybe she had other acts of cohabitation with a non-Jew, with other inappropriate men, but since based on lachas of majority, we say that it was with her husband, so the child, we say, was conceived from a kosher, valid person, from this woman's husband. And therefore, rather marry the Bas Duma, because we assume she is kosher, but Vizu, Einoy Medes Becheskes Kashas, in contrast to the Duma herself, which she does not maintain a presumptive state of validity to her husband. The reason being is because she acts inappropriately, and hence, we can assume, which even if it happens just one time, that she's mezana as a married woman if he's going to marry her, and she's going to then become forbidden because an eishes ish that has just one act of infidelity is already forbidden to her husband. And he's not going to know this. He's not going to realize that she's doing this. And he's not going to divorce her. And then afterwards, he's going to continue cohabiting with her, which is a violation of the iser of a woman that's a saita that has an act of infidelity with another man. So rather, says Rabbi Yechonon, no, marry the Bas Duma, who at least has a Cheskes Kashas, and we assume that she did come from her father, and not the Duma herself, because if she's going to act with infidelity, she's going to be forbidden to her husband. He's not going to know this, and he's going to have cohabitation in sin. Now, that the Gemara asked Meisiv, but we learn that Brice is seemingly not like Rabbi Yechonon, which says, Noisi Adam Duma. It says that you should marry the woman that everyone's speaking about, that she does inappropriate things, and not like Rabbi Yechonon, who said, rather marry the Bas Duma. So on that, Rava answers the question. He says, wait, for Tisbra, would you really think that it's logical to say Noisei, which means Likatchila, that the Brice you just quoted says a person should marry a woman that everyone talks about that she does inappropriate, immoral things? What do you mean? Most definitely, if she's doing things with other men, it's going to cause a spiritual harm for their marriage, because obviously it's going to cause problems for Eishes Ish when he's married to her. Elo rather says Rava, obviously, you have to say that there's some type of an error in this brisa, and you have to correct it and say it doesn't really mean noisei, which means that's what you should do. Rather, it means imnasa, that if a man marries a duma, a woman that everyone's speaking about, then he's permitted to maintain that marriage. So says Rava, since you have to already amend and correct the brisa and to answer it, so obviously you see that the brisa's text is not specifically correct. And therefore, you can't really ask from it, because you could say that not only was the error regarding Lekechilim B'diyevet of Naisei To'im Nasa, Tani Nami Bas Duma amended and also corrected and say that it's not really when it says that you should marry the Duma, and meaning to say, but if you did, meaning it means to say only if you did, you can maintain that. It was also like Rabbi Yechanan that it wasn't Duma, but rather Bas Duma, which is like Rabbi Yechanan. Now Rashi just points out that even though we have this Machlikes Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, should you marry this one or that one? Obviously, as we're amending the Braisa, it doesn't mean initially. Because obviously, if there's another woman that's neither one of the two, definitely marry a regular kosher woman. It just means to say, if someone who only has these two options, that's when we have the Machlikes Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, would you rather marry the Duma or the Bas Duma? Concludes the Gemara, B'Hilchos HaLacha is, Yisa Adam Bas Duma V'al Yisa Duma. A person should rather marry the daughter of such a woman and not the woman herself, who there's rumors about her that she does inappropriate things. They called the Tani Rav Techlifa Bama Rav Kamed Rebavo, like he had learned in front of Rebavo, that says that Isha Mazana, if a woman is Mazana, then Banel Ksharon, then although we know that she acted inappropriate with other men, her children are still considered valid, they're not considered Mamzerim. The reason being, as we mentioned this before, Rav Bilis Achar Baal, there's a law of majority, which is why there's a presumptive Cheskas Kashrus on the children. And the majority of cohabitations are with her husband, and therefore the Bas Duma, the daughter of such a woman, since she is going to have a halacha of kashrus, so again, as we said, it's better to go ahead and marry her, where at least we know that she has fidelity, she's a regular, upstanding Jewish woman, and don't marry the Duma herself, who she's definitely going to create problems in the marriage, because the first moment she goes and she's mezana with a man, she's an Eishes Ish, who's mezana, who then becomes forbidden to her husband, thus creating problems for their marriage. Now, however, although we just said this halacha, that the children of a woman that's mezana are considered kosher because of this roiv, this laws of majority, that we assume that the conception is from her husband, not from these other men, but Bai Rav Amram, he asks, Haisa prutza b'yeser. Let's say the mother was really, really, like the word paritz means, breached. She was acting totally out of control. And definitely there's reason to suspect that actually the majority of her be'ilois, of her cohabitations, were not with her husband, rather with other men. So on that Asra of Amram, Mahu, what would be the halacha in that case? Would we still say that her children would be considered kosher, or no? Because here you can't go based on the halachas of Reva, majority, because actually this woman, the majority of her cohabitations are with other men. So now the Gemara explains the question. Alibi de Mandam, according to the Pitney that says, which is a fundamental question regarding when does conception happen. This opinion says, Ein isha misaberes ela samach levesta. A woman only conceives when it's near the time when she gets her period of menstruation, which is, let's say, one day before she has her vest, which is the time, the designated time when she menstruates. So on that says the Gemara, according to that opinion, loiti bailach, definitely no question, de lo yadaba. The husband doesn't know the day when she's getting her period of menstruation, and therefore v'lo minter lo. So therefore, he doesn't know. He's not aware to safeguard her on that day because he knows his wife is inappropriate, but he wants to make sure that his children are his. But he doesn't know that day when she's expecting her period of menstruation to protect her, that she shouldn't be mezana that day, and therefore very likely she's conceiving with another man, and therefore we wouldn't say that the children are with a cheskes kashrus. However, on that, the Gemara says, Kiti Bailach, when would the question apply? Alibidim on the Amma, according to the opinion, this is a machlikis Ramasak, this needed daflamat avam abeis, that says, Ein isha misaberes. A woman only conceives, elasamach litzvi lasa. Around the time of when she immerses in the mikvah, which means to say that after she menstruated, and then she waits a period, and then she goes and immerses in the mikvah, after that she immerses herself, either that day or the day following that, that's when she conceives. On that, the question is my. So according to that opinion, what would the halacha be? As the Gemara explains, Kivin the Yadaba, since he knows regarding when his wife immerses in the mikvah, so Naturi Minter Law, so he's going to be able to safeguard, he'll be able to make sure at least that his children will be from him. Idilmo, maybe would you say, Kivin the Prutza B'Yesa, since this is a totally immoral woman, that loy, that no, actually he can't safeguard her because she's able to quickly slip away as she always does, and she goes and cohabits with another man. And therefore, maybe even if he knows the day of the tefillah, and that's when she conceives, maybe she goes and she has the child from another man, and therefore the children should not be kosher. That says the Gemara, take a little sense, not clear What would the halacha be according to that opinion that a woman concedes at the time of her tefillah if she's a prutza b'yaser regarding the kashrus, the validity and halacha of her children? Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said ve'elu shebezdin v'chulu, that although the halacha of soita that we're discussing in our Masechta is through the procedures of the husband, that he does kina, he warns her, and then there's stir when she secludes, if there's testimony, that's when the parash of Saita applies. That the Mishnah said that there are certain women that their husbands are unable to do kinoi, as the Gemara quote of Bryce, it actually adds on a few more pieces that our Mishnah did not discuss, that they're unable to do kinoi. So then Bezin, the courts, does it. Now the opinion of our Mishnah was, it's not that then the husband could go ahead and give the water of Saita for her to drink, which is the process of the Saita Safik, rather it's just that it's a way of penalizing the woman from getting her ksuba. Now that the Gemara brings a Bryce that elaborates on this halacha. Tarabon, learn the Bryce. The Pasuk says in Bamidbar Parakeh, Pasuk at base, there in the parasha that discusses the site, that says, Dabel b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, v'amarta alem, you should speak to them. Ish, ish, every man, kisis to ishtai, that if his wife will stray, umala by mal, and shall commit treason against him, that's where the whole parasha of site applies. So the Brisa quotes this Pasuk, it says, ish. So on that, the Brisa asks, ma tam alem ish, ish, why the redundancy? Why does it say every man? Why does it say ish, a man, kisis to ishtai? So that says the Brisa. The Rabbi is coming to include another man that maybe we would have thought this would not apply to, which is Eshes Cheresh, the wife of a deaf mute, or the Eshes Shaita, Shaita, the wife of a mentally deranged man, or the Eshes Shimon, or the wife of a man that also something about someone that's Shigoyin, that has some type of affliction in mentally or some type of a mood disorder. Or if a husband goes overseas, or if he was imprisoned in jail, that the courts do the kinoi. They warn her regarding this, that she's acting inappropriately with this man, not to seclude herself with him. And again, as the opinion in our Mishnah is, that's obviously not, as the Bryce will shortly quote, to for the parasha of Saita, of drinking the Saita water, just to invalidate her from Miksuba. That just we're warning you, if you're going to do this, you're not going to get the ksuba. Your husband can't warn you, he's not available, but you're going to lose the ksuba. Now, that says the Brisa, Yochlaf Lash Kris, and you think the same thing would apply, even that the kinui of the bezin of the courts would work to then follow up if she does seclude to have her drink to cite the waters. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches. The man has to bring his wife to then drink to cite the waters, but since there's no husband here in the warning, so then the husband's not the one that's going to be able to go ahead and bring her to drink the Saita waters. As the Gemara will explain. Rabbi Yisi says, no, Aflashka is actually the kino of the courts, works not only to penalize her from the ksuba, but even to make her drink the Saita waters. And when the husband leaves jail, although he couldn't warn her because he was incapacitated, he was incarcerated, but when he becomes available, then he could have her drink the Saita waters based on the warnings of the courts. So the Gemara asks about my commitment. What is the fundamental principle that they're arguing about? So the Gemara explains, Rabbanan Savri be'inan v'kinei v'hevi. The rabbis hold that you need the two psukim that it says near each other, that the one that does v'kinei, the one that does the warning, has to be the one that brings. And since the husband's not doing the warning, and the husband has to be the one that brings, so therefore the court's warning can't go ahead and follow up with the husband bringing. Now, Rashi just points out one thing, and that is that seemingly by kinoi also it says es ishtoi, which sounds like that the husband has to do the kinoi, just like we're proving that the behavior, the drinking has to be done by the husband, and that's why it can't be working with the warning of the courts, because the one who brings has to warn, and here it's not the husband who's warning. But the question is, how could they even warn just for the halachas of kinoi, forget about the halacha of drinking, if the pasuk says regarding warning itself, es ishtoi, his wife, which sounds like the husband has to do the warning and not others, meaning the courts. So that Rashi says, that's exactly what the Brice is learning from the redundancy of ish, ish. That's teaching you that although, yes, the Pasuk says it has to be the husband, but the reason why he repeats ish, ish, to tell you that there are certain cases where it's not going to be the husband, and it will be husbands that are not able to, like a cheresh or a shaita, and then the courts are going to do the kinah. But again, the Rabban hold that the kinah v'hevi tells you that the ones who do the kinah has to do the hevi, and the hevi has to be the husband, and therefore the court's kinah can't work with the bringing the woman to drink the saita waters. But Rabbi Yossi Sabe says, he disagrees with that. He doesn't hold that this hekesh, that the one who does the kinui has to do the heavy. And therefore, although the kinui is being done by the courts, the husband could be behavius ishtay after he gets out of jail. Now, another halacha related to this topic of saita, Tarabon, we learned the brisa. Says, asher tista isha tachas isha, that if a woman will stray when she's married to her husband, so as Rashi points out, this is seemingly a superfluous pasuk, which, because we already spoke about in the previous pasuk, they were discussing a woman straying beneath when she's married to her husband. So rather, it's for drasha purposes, as this pasuk is brought towards the end of the parasha, where it says, Zeis teresa knoi. So what's the purpose of this pasuk? So on that is what the Bryce says, Lahakish ish le'isha ve'isha le'ish. It's to compare, and it says, Isha tachas isha, it's comparing the woman to the man. It's to say, comparing the man to the woman, and the woman to the man, as the Gemara is going to explain for what halachic purposes is that. So the Gemara says, Lamai halchasa. So Amrav Sheshes, he says, Kishem she'im hu suma lo ha'yamashka, just like if the husband is blind, he wouldn't be able to have his wife drink the site. The waters, like it says in the Pasuk, v'ne'ala me'enei isha, that she was hidden, she was secluded from the eyes of her husband, meaning he didn't see because she was secluded with another man, but that obviously sounds like that he could see. It's just that she eluded him. So the comparison tells us that so too, if the woman who was the saita, if she was blind, she also wouldn't drink the saita waters. That is what we learn now from comparing her to him. Now, Rav Ashi Amar, and as Rashi points out, that each one are not arguing with the other. It's just that one's explaining the comparison of him to her, and one's comparing the heart to him. So Rav Ashi says the other way that we're learning. Kshem shechigeres v'gidemes lohisa shayisa. Just like if she was lame, meaning a problem with her feet, or she was gidemes, which a problem that with her hand, let's say, cut off, she wouldn't drink. Like it says in the pasuk, as we continue on Tamid Beis, it says v'hemed hakoynes ish lofnei Hashem. Part of the seita process is that the kohen stands the woman before Hashem, meaning in the nazar, in the courtyard. Now, standing means to say that she's standing, that she's not lame. She's not a chigeres. And then the pasuk says, v'nasan al kapeh, and then he puts it on her palm. This is regarding the Michas Kanais, which means to say that she's not a gedemes, which is someone that's missing a hand. So just like she, if she's chigeres or gedemes, wouldn't drink the saita waters, kachu im ha'yichiger agidem lo ha'yamashka. So if he was lame or a gidem, he wouldn't have her drink the saita waters. Mabar Vashiyom, he says another halacha we learn now from this comparison of him to her and her to him is kashem she'ilemes lahisa shayisa, just like that if she was mute, she wouldn't drink. The chsilik, it says in the pasuk, part of the process says, v'amra isha amein amein, the woman answers to the curses, she says, yes, yes. Kachu im ha'yilem lahayamashka, so to if he was mute, again, comparing him to her, he wouldn't have her drink the saita waters. Hadin lach arusa, which I'll return to you, the fourth parak of Masechta Saita, parak arusa. With that, we begin the fifth parak of Masechta Saita, parak Hashem Shamayim. Which this parak is actually all based on this one Mishnah, which takes us to the bottom of the daf, which obviously the opening halacha is related to the topic of Saita, although the rest, as we'll explain shortly, are different halachas. So the Mishnah opens up, Hashem Shamayim Boitkin Oysa, just like as we've been explaining, that the waters that the Saita Safik drinks inspects her, which means to say that if she was Mizana, she blows up and she has all these terrible afflictions, and if not, she has all the blessing. Kachamayim Boitkin Oysa, that actually it also inspects the Boil, the man that she was suspected having had an extramarital relationship with, as the Gemara explained in the Daf Chavches Samad Aleph. Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk, so although she's drinking it, the effects are going to happen to him too. Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk about Midbar, it says, Uvo, Uvo. Now, the Gemara will explain that if, what do we see from Uvo? Is it the extra Vav, meaning it could have said Vo and it says Uvo? Or is it actually the redundancy that it says Uvo twice? So that the Gemara will explain, what do we see from that word Uvo, either because twice or the extra Vav, which would tell us that it's not just in her that's being inspected, but it's also in the Boil, that man that she was secluded with. Now, the Mishnah continues, Kashem Shasur Labal. Just like the woman, when she's Mizana with a man, becomes forbidden to her husband, which is what happens with an Ashes Ish, Kach Asur Labal, so too, afterwards, she can't go ahead now and marry that man that she was Mizana with, she's forbidden to him too. Shnimlik, it says in the Pasuk, Nitma V'nitma, which it's the extra vav that's being expounded over here, because it says asher tista isha tachas isha, that if a woman will stray beneath her husband v'nitma, and she will become defiled, it could have just said nitma. When it says vin nitma, that vav is and, it's adding on something else. It's including not only the husband that she's defiled to, but it's also the bayil, the man that she was mezana with. She's also considered defiled and forbidden to. That's the Rebbe Akiva. Amir Bishuah, he says, Kacha yedarish Zachariah ben Akatsav. Zachariah ben Akatsav also expounded like you from the extra vav. But Rebbe, I mean, he disagrees. He says, Shnei pa'am ha'murim b'parsha. It says the word nitma two times in the parsha. It says nitma, and it says v'nitma, which echel abal v'echel abayel. It's the redundancy which tells us this halacha, where that one is, she's considered defiled and forbidden to her husband, and one is for the baal, for the man that she was mezana with, which Rashi just points out, although there's actually another pasuk, v'nistra v'hi nitma, that nitma is not considered in the count, because, as the Gemara explained in the beginning of the Masechta of Beis Mabeis, that nitma is talking about not the soita safik, which is what we're discussing, the woman who drinks because we don't know what happened with her. Actually, that's what's called the soita vadois, when she's definitely tamei, when there is one witness who said, I saw her being mezana, besides the two witnesses of the kinoi and the stira, meaning that he saw what happened, that's what is going on. So therefore, that's not considered in the count of how many times it says nitma. So rather, you have the pasuk v'kines ishtavi nitma, and you have a hoisa im nitma. Now, Rashi says, although it says another pasuk, asher tista isha tachas isha benitma, the Gemara expounds that Rabbi Kiva learns that for truma. So although Rebbe, who agrees that there's another nitma, but the reason why here he only picks two nitmas and not more is only because he's answering to Rabbi Kiva. In other words, he heard Rabbi Kiva expound it. How do you know the halacha of Baal and Boyal? From the one source of nitma, it's just the extra vav that tells you it applies also to the Boyal. And that is what Rebbe was responding to Rebbe Kiva. That's not true. Baal and Boyal is not from the same word. He doesn't expound it from the letter vav. He says because of the extra time that it says nitma, nitma. But yes, there are other times that it's mentioned nitma, which again tells us other drashas. So that's what applies to our Masechta. Now, on that the Mishnah continues and says, Boy begim darsh Rebbe Kiva. It was on that day that Rebbe Kiva expounded. Now, the Gemara Brachas daf Chav Chesam and Aleph tells us that wherever it says Boy Bayim on that day, it's a reference to the day that they had appointed Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah to be the Nasi. Now, at that day, there was an increase in students in the Beis Medrash because they then allowed all students, whoever wanted to come in to the Beis Medrash and learn, which Rebbe Gamliel, who was originally the Nasi, he said any Talmudic scholar who his Taicha, his inside, is not like his Bari, like his outside, can't come into the Beis Medrash, which is a very high level. So therefore, since on that day they let everyone come into the Beis Medrash, there was a lot of Torah that was being learned in that day, and there wasn't any halacha that was not clear, that wasn't verified and clarified on that day in the Beis Medrash. Now, Rashi just points out, why is this Mishnah segueing over here and discussing, as we'll see, many different things, which was Boy Bayayim, is because Rashi says it appears to him that this drasha that we opened up with, of the nitma that Rebbe just mentioned, was also on that day. It was also Boy Bayayim, which is obviously related to our Masechta. So that's why the Mishnah continues and says other drushes that were mentioned on that day where there were many halachas that were clarified. Our halacha v'nitma is one of them. And then the Mishnah explains other things which Rabbi Kiva expounded on that day. It says a pasuk in Bayiku, which the girs is v'chol kli cheres, and any earthenware vessel, asher yipol mehem al teiche, which if it will fall a sheretz inside the area of the cavity of the kli cheres of the earthenware vessel, so kol asher b'teiche yitma, whatever is inside the earthenware vessel will become tummy. Now, the reason why that is because the sheretz, which is one of the creepy, crawly creatures, that were eight types that it mentions in the Torah, that's an avatuma. Then, as it transfers, it gets lower and lower. So the earthenware vessel becomes a rishain, which is one step down, which became tummy from the sheretz. And the food item that's in the earthenware vessel becomes a sheni, a secondary level of tuma, which became tummy from the kli, from the vessel itself. Now, that says Rabbi Kiva. Eina oimer tummy. It doesn't say the more obvious language of kol asher b'teiche tamei, that whatever is inside the vessel is tamei, ela yitma, will become tamei. But that word yitma could also be read yitamei. So on that says Rabbi Kiva, what that means to say is letamei acherim, which means that whatever is inside the vessel itself, which is a sheni, it could even be metamei and transmit tuma to other things. So limit al kikar sheni, this teaches us regarding a loaf of bread that's a secondary a level of tuma. And Rashi just says the reason why it picks a loaf of bread is because that's what's commonly in an oven, which is a classic case of an earthenware vessel, that's what they made their ovens out. So that's why it just picks a kikar, but it's really any food item that's a secondary, that's a sheni, shemitame es ashlishi, that can then go ahead and transmit tumma to create something to be a third level string tumma, which is what happens to truma, which actually is even in the according to Rabbi Akiva, applying even to chulin, even to regular unconsecrated produce, because the pasuk doesn't say that it's specifically for truma. So Rabbi Akiva says, what you see from this pasuk is that a sheni could create even a shlishi level of tumma, even for chulin. So on that one, Rabbi Shu Bashu commented, he said, Mi gala ofer meinecha, Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh, who is going to uncover the dust from your eyes, Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh? Because Shayisa Oimer, Asadar Acher, used to say that there will be a time, there's going to be a generation that's going to come in the future, that's going to be Latar Kikar Shlishi, that's going to say that even Truma does not become a Shlishi Lotoma. It's going to say that it's purified. That means to say, even if Truma touches a Sheni, it doesn't become a Shlishi. The reason being, says Rabbi Yechim and Zakai, that people are going to say that, is because She'enle Mikra Menat Tari Shurutami, there's actually no biblical source that's a pasuk in the Torah that tells us that even Truma could become a Shlishi. It's actually only us that we say by Truma that it does become Tamei. We actually learned that out from a Kal Vachomer, as the Gemara will explain. Now, on that, Rabbi Yechim and Zakai said that a future generation is going to refute the Kal Vachomer, as the Gemara will explain. And therefore, he said that there will be a time that they're going to say that Truma is not a Shlishi. So on that, says Rabbi Yeshua, but V'haloi Rabbi Kiva Tamitcha, but you have here now your student Rabbi Kiva, that's maybe loy mikra menat tarish your tummy. That actually brings a pasik, meaning the other way. You said people are going to say it's tar. Here comes your student and actually says that it is tummy, and he even brings a source from the pasik, and he says it actually applies even to chulin. Shenem, like it says in the pasik, as we just mentioned that Rabbi Kiva said before, kol asher b'toicha yitma, that whatever is inside of it, yitma, which you could read yitame, which means to say that the loaf of bread, which is a sheni, could even make other things into a shlishi. Continues the Mishnah and says another halacha. Boy b'yam dosh Rabbi Kiva was on that day again that they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azari to be the nasi. That Rabbi Kiva expounded as follows: the pasuk says in Midbar regarding the Ari Halavim, the cities which were given to the Levim. They were given. They had these 48 cities. So it says u'madaisim mechutz le'iras paas kedma apayim ba'am avugaymer. That it says that they would measure from beyond the city towards the east, and it goes to all different directions, was measured out 2,000 amas. And that's what the pasuk says was migrashei arim. That was the migrash, which was this outer area of the cities themselves. Now, omikra acharma, but there's the pasuk, which is right before that says, mikir ha'ir v'chutza elef amasav, that from the walls of the city outward was measured 1,000 amas. So on that, says Rabbi Kiva, ef shalom elef amas, you can't say that they were given, besides the cities themselves, an area outside of that 1,000 amas, Shekvan Nemra Alpayim Am, because the pasuk afterwards says that they were given 2,000 amas. V'yev Shalim Alpayim Am, and neither can you say they were given 2,000 amas. Shekvan Nemra Aleph Amah, because the pasuk before that says they were given 1,000 amas. So how much were they given, the Levim, again, for all the Or Levim, besides those which were the Ritzach would go to that were designated for that, which they killed by mistake, that all these cities that they were given, also beyond that area. So on that, Rabbi Kiva says, so how do you resolve this? One pasuk makes it sound like they were given 2,000 amas, and one makes it sound like it was 1,000 amas. So that says, Rabbi Kiva, that actually, elef ama migrash. The one pasuk that says they were given 1,000 amas, that refers to an open area that no one was allowed to plant or make houses, or rather, this was area that was left open for the beautification of the city, which is to have some ear around the city. Now, Valpayim Amah, but the other pasuk that mentioned the 2,000 Amas, that wasn't mentioned as a gift that was given to the Levium. That was only said regarding a person allowing to be going out of Tchum HaShabbos. How far is the area that is considered measured for the distance a person allowed to walk out of the place of where he is in the city? That's 2,000 Amas, but that's not part of the gifting. The gifting was 1,000 Amas, and 2,000 Amas was regards to the Halach of Tchum HaShabbos. But Rabbi Eliezer ben Noy Shel Yechin Shel Risi HaGlili, he says no. He says a different resolution. He says elef amah migrash. Yeah, 1,000 amas was this open area. Valpayim amah, but the 2,000 amas, which is around, actually he holds was given to the Levim. It's just that there was again, like you said, 1,000 amas which was left open, which you call migrash, and the rest beyond that till the end of 2,000 amas, was saw the sukram that was for fields and vineyards, and that therefore he holds that was given. So the contradiction is resolved by saying that 1,000 was open, that's migrash, but 2,000 was given to them because that the rest they could make fields and vineyards. Another halacha, Baibiyam Dorish Rabbi Kiva, it was on that day that Rabbi Kiva expounded, Pasuk in Shemais, says in the Shira of Az Yashir, that by the Kriyas Yamsev, it says, Az Yashir Moshe B'nei Yisrael, Sashir Azayis Lashem, that it was then that Moshe and the B'nei Yisrael sang this song, Lashem Tashem, Vayemr, and they said, Lamer sang. So on that says Rabbi Kiva, Shein Tamalema Lamer, that it's not really telling us anything when it says saying. In other words, this is not like when it says in every pasuk, Vaydab Hashem al Moshe Lema, that Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, because that makes sense. It was when the divine presence spoke to Moshe, and it told him to then go ahead and say this over to the Jewish people. But here, obviously, that doesn't apply. It wasn't Hashem telling him to say something. They were singing a song, and they said, what did they say? It should have gone on to the next pasuk. Rather, it says, Lamer, to say. Who is he telling something that the people should then say, so matam alema lema. So what is this lemer teaching us? So malamit Yisrael einin shira achrav shel Moshe. What this comes to tell us is that actually they were saying something were lemer, so that he should tell something to others, that meaning that others should say. How so? That is, the Jewish people responded after Moshe Rabbeinu al kol davar v'davar. Whatever he would say, there was a lemer over here, which was that then they responded in kind. Kukarin is how. Like, as Gemara will explain on Laflama on the Beis, how, at least in Talmudic times, they would recite the Halal, Lekach Nemalema. That's why it says saying, because it wasn't that they all said together. It was that he said, and that Lamer that they should say, it was that they would respond in kind, just like how they would recite Halal in Talmudic times. Ibn Chemiyah, I mean, he says, no, it's Kukurin as Shema. The way they said the Shira by Az Yashir was not how they say Halal in Talmudic times, but rather how they would recite the Shema, which again the Gemara will explain how they did that. But like a karnesal, and not how they would say the hal. Continuing, Bay Bayayim, it was on that day that Darsh Rabbi Shua ben Horkanus. Rabbi Shua ben Horkanus expounded as follows. He said, Lo Ovet Iyves HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Mahava. Iyov, the biblical figure that has a sefer written about him, he served HaKadosh Baruch Hu only out of love, meaning because he loved Hashem. Shnemelech says, a pasuk in Iyov. Says, Hein yikdaleni, although he will kill me, loy ayachel, it's to him that I yearn for. Now, but vadayin hadavar shakal, it's still, however, 50-50, it's still equal how you interpret this pasuk. Is it loy ani mitzapet, is it to him I yearn, which would be complementary to Eiv, or eini mitzapet, or is it saying that no, I don't yearn for him anymore? In other words, when it says hein yikdaleni, you could say that, what do I mean? He's killing me. Look what God is doing to me, as well known from Sefer Iyov, all the afflictions he had. Well, he's killing me, so I'm not going to yearn for him anymore. This is someone I want to have a relationship with? In other words, because as Rashi explains, the word loy can either be expounded as a lamed vav, to him I yearn, or loy with an aleph, which is no, I'm not going to yearn for him anymore. So this pasuk is still vague in regards to, is this complementary to Eve or not? So Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches in Eve, that says, Ad egva loy asur tumasi mimeni. Until I expire, I will not remove my wholesomeness from me. So that is what he says, Malamet Shema Havasa. From that pasuk, you see that obviously he did it out of his love, because he says, whatever Hashem does to me, he can't remove my love from him. I obviously know how much he loves me, even though maybe my limited rational brain can't really understand this. So we see that he did it out of love. So again, Rabbi Shua, he reflected it. He says, "Mi gala ofer meinach Rabbi Yechem Hazakeh? Who is going to uncover the dust from your eyes, Rabbi Yechem Hazakeh? She yisad derech kol yemecha. You used to expound all your days. So like ofer Eiv es amakim elam yira. That Eiv only served God out of fear, meaning he was afraid of the punishment that's going to come to him, and he was like, oh, I can't deal with this, and he's afraid. So that's why he did what Hashem wanted from him. Shnemelech says, a pasuk in Eiv, ish a man tam v'yasher." Whole and straight, Yare Aleikim, who fears God, which he expounded, but he doesn't love Hashem, Visarmira, and he removed himself from evil. And that is what he says, but Bahalo Yeshua Talmud Tamitcha, but here you have Yeshua, the student of your student, who is the student of Rabbi Kiva, Lamed Shemehavasa, who teaches that no, Eve didn't do it out of fear, but rather did it out of his love for Hashem.